Good morning. It is time for us to begin this morning and want to welcome our visitors. Thankful for your presence here. Before we begin, I'd ask Mike Williams, if he would, to lead us in prayer. So, Mike, if you don't mind.
Dear God and Father in heaven, Lord Almighty, help us all to be thankful people. Help us all to recognize the many blessings you shower on us each and every day. Heavenly Father, help us to acknowledge your Son and his purpose in our life here today. May it be evident in our speech, shown in our disposition in this world. And may our love be exemplified in our faith in him, Christ our Savior. Heavenly Father, as we study a portion of your word this morning from the book of Ephesians, we pray that it will come to an open mind. Pray that we look for opportunity to apply any of the lessons that we can to our lives, both today and all the days of my life. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the measure of help we have to be able to be here this day. We thank you for the visitors you brought our way here, Lord. Father, we thank you for Rick and his ability to rightfully divide your word, your Lord. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the Church of Christ established that allows us to be here and study a portion of your word this morning. Father, we go through this study. They will be strengthened, encouraged, and motivated to go out and do that will all the days of our life. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Mike. Well, we're coming close to an end to our study of Ephesians, and Wednesday night, if all goes according to plan, which I'm determined it will, we will have our last class. But currently, we are in Ephesians 18, chapter 6. If there's 18 chapters in Ephesians, we're here for another 3 years. I'm sorry, but. So I know this has been a lengthy study. The feedback I've gotten for those who are willing to say has been good, though, that we folks feel that it has been practical and useful, and that's been my prayer the entire time. And we've been studying the armor of God found in chapter 6, really starting in verse 10 through 17 is that section, and how we are to spiritually adorn ourselves in the struggle against an enemy who is trying to destroy us. And I think that has to be forefront in our minds as we study this scripture. That's what Paul says, that our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but it's a spiritual struggle against a spiritual enemy who has vast resources at his disposal. And he's trying to destroy us. And we need to think about that each day when we're faced with temptation, when we're faced with reacting in a way that is not the way we should act, when we're faced with difficulties, that there's one place those things are coming from, and that's our enemy. He is trying to destroy us. And we've discussed these separate pieces of armor. Stand firm, therefore, having girded your loins with truth. We've looked at that, and we're not going to elaborate on any of these this morning. We've spent a class period on each of these, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. In addition to all, taking up the shield of faith with which you will be able to extinguish all the flaming missiles of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. But there's one final piece of armor that Paul includes with all these others. But it seems to me this one he includes absent of the metaphor. All these others are metaphors. You know, you have all these pieces of equipment. But this last one, there's no metaphor for it. And I would say, you know, it's not as much a piece of armor as it is an overriding disposition in our struggle against this enemy. And that's what he mentions in chapter 6, 18 through 20. And let's go ahead and read this here before we begin. With all prayer and petition And he said this in the context of putting this armor on, and here's how he's summing it all up. With all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit, and with this in view, be on the alert with all perseverance and petition for all the saints. And pray on my behalf that utterance may be given to me in the opening of my mouth to make known with boldness the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in proclaiming it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Well, let's see what Paul says here. And we're going to read this again. With all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit, and with this in view, be on the alert with all perseverance and petition for all the saints. And there's little question in my mind that this prayer is to be part of this arsenal of armor we have presented to us here, that Paul intends for that to be as such. And one of the reasons is because it makes seven. We had six, but there's these sevens, but that's not the main reason. The main reason is that there seems to be a natural, uninterrupted transition from the previous verses, no matter which version you read from. You put on all this armor, and then with all prayer and petition, continue. And the idea seems to be that this entire process of adorning ourselves with these several pieces of armor in preparation for the struggles is all to have been done with prayer. And I see an image here of the soldier dressed in full armor, with prayer being representative of him diligently standing guard, on being alert with all perseverance. Don't you see that? You know, you're dressed in this armor, you're prepared for battle, and now you're alert with all diligence. And you think of even in a military setting, that aren't there always soldiers standing guard? You know, making sure that the enemy isn't going to get in and infiltrate you or your camp. But the emphasis here is not just on the soldier looking out for himself. What is it on?
The saints.
The soldier looking out for all the other saints too, all the other soldiers. So we're dressed in this armor, and we made the point that, you know, first and foremost, we've got to protect ourselves against this enemy. But now that we're dressed, now that we're adorned, what do we need to do? We need to protect ourselves and protect one another. And that seems to me, this is really where the prayer comes in. And of all the pieces of armor that we've discussed, I think this is the one that's probably the most easily neglected by us. Don't you think? That it's the one that you know, well, we're feeling pretty good. We're studying our Bible. We're attending worship services. We're doing all the right things in our minds anyway. But are we praying? Are we going to God in prayer on a regular basis? And I was thinking about the analogy of the soldier. If we were to extend the analogy of a soldier fighting on the battlefield, what does prayer represent in this analogy? What would prayer represent in that soldier's fight, that soldier's struggle? Yeah, exactly. That's our communication. That's our communication with headquarters, with the captain. The soldier on the battlefield doesn't have a very big picture of what's going on, does he? He sees the struggle in front of him. And isn't that what we deal with each day? We see the struggle in front of us. But we have a captain that is above us and seeing everything from a large perspective. And he knows exactly what's going on in that entire battle. The big picture. Our captain sees the big picture. And if we're not communicating with him, then we're not getting the big picture ourselves. And what is the soldier has to have faith, doesn't he? We've talked about that. He has to have faith that his captain knows the big picture, and that the struggle he's in and the battle he's facing and the way he's being conducted and directed is because that captain knows what the best thing is for that soldier and for all of the soldiers in battle.
It reminds me of, you know, World War II movie you're watching, and the guy cranks up the phone and he's on the phone communicating with the guy at headquarters telling him, do this, do this. But sir, don't argue with me, just do it. I know what I'm talking about.
And And of course, we have a lot of those movies where the captain doesn't know what he's talking about, but our captain does. And that was way before my time. I never saw movies where they did that. I love some of those old John Wayne war movies. But that communication is vital to the soldier in battle. And what Paul is telling us here is that prayer needs to be front and center in our lives as we're facing this spiritual struggle. Excuse me. And I doubt we have to think very hard to come up with examples from the scriptures of God's people praying in the midst of this spiritual struggle with the enemy. What comes to mind? Who's praying in the midst of this struggle? There's numerous examples in scripture. Any thoughts? Jesus. Everywhere. How many times does it say that Jesus went off in a quiet place to pray, or he spent the entire evening in prayer? Why? This is the Son of God. He's got direct communication with the Father. His faith did not lack at all, but he's praying all the time at every opportunity. You know, we see God's faithful people doing that all the time. Ray, did you? Exactly right. And that's isn't that what we're recognizing? Before we actually get into that, because I this is going to lead that way, and you know how I am. I've got my linear thinking that I've got to follow, so you're used to me by now. Why is prayer so important? I mean, how does prayer help us in the spiritual struggle against this enemy? Les? And it helps us understand our place too, doesn't it? Who's in control? And that's a sign of humility as well. You're dressed up in all this armor and you have the ability to destroy or whatever else it might be. In the soldier's case, I don't think that's necessarily our intent in Ephesians, but it shows humility. Elaine?
It's also like acknowledging his power and authority. It's kind of like going to the grocery store, getting a call from the cashier and saying, I want to see your supervisor. Yeah, I want that. You know that the higher power will...
Yeah, I just had that happen with it. I dropped my iPad in the parking lot and shattered the screen, and the warranty ran out a week before. And so I called up Apple and I said, you know, can you? I said I bought a lot of Apple products. This Apple Care just ran out, and then she said, I can't help you with that. I said, well, let me talk to somebody who can, and they did. They replaced it for free. I couldn't believe it. I was thankful for that. But that's a recognition of that. I didn't need to get into that detail. What else? What else does prayer do?
Gives us direction.
Gives us direction. It helps us to know where the direction comes from too, I think. Earl?
Communication is encouraged. If the soldier's on the battlefield, he can't communicate with his superior, it can be discouraged. But if you communicate, it can be encouraged.
And I think the point I would make on that is it reminds us that we're not alone in this battle. If you're out on the battlefield and you feel like you're abandoned, you don't have anybody, we're not. We have somebody we can talk to who sees the big picture, who can send reinforcements. And we looked at that passage in 2 Kings with Elisha, that and his servant was saying, they're surrounding us, Lord. What are we going to do? And he looks up and Elijah says, Lord, help him see. And all these angels, this vast host of God's army is up on the hills. And it's just a beautiful passage, Frank. That's another. All these things, prayer does all of, that's why it's so crucial to our lives. It helps us realize that, we're not the ones in control. And how did Paul begin this entire section in verse 10? He said, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might. There has to be a recognition that our strength is not in ourselves. It's in God. And that's what prayer does. When we pray regularly, it reminds us of that. You know, God knows what we need before we ask Him. I think prayer primarily is for us. You know, but we'll talk a little bit about that. But it's critical in our defense against this spiritual enemy. Our strength is not in ourselves. It's in the Lord and in the strength of His might. Chapter 10, 6, verse 10. Well, why don't we pray? You know, we've talked about why is prayer so important. And there are some other things we could say about that. I think it increases our faith. I think it helps us focus on the spiritual and not the physical. You know, but why don't we pray? Ray, are you answering the first question or the second one?
A little
both. Okay.
We pray when things, we don't pray when things are fine.
Yeah.
Something horrific happens. Everybody
prays. Isn't that the truth? Yeah, we'll talk about that in a minute. But yeah, because when things are fine, we think, I've got it under control. You know, look at, it's like a Nebuchadnezzar, look what I've done. You know, look at my kingdom. Well, God reminded him he wasn't in control. And maybe sometimes that's why difficulties, we see it in the Old Testament, we experience difficulties because God's trying to get us to turn our heads in the right direction. That's the first thing I thought about when.
Start praying, start looking to God, and not let him, and then within a year or so, after all that, drop back down.
All you got to do is read the book of Judges. We see it over and over and over again. That Israel, something bad happens, and they get. And that's what God kept doing. He was trying to turn their hearts back to Him over and over, and we see that throughout. You know, I'd say that the devil doesn't want us to pray, does he? He doesn't want us to study His Word. Study God's Word. He doesn't want us to assemble together. He doesn't want us praying. And He's going to give us excuse. I just don't have time. I don't have time. You know, it's amazing to me. You know, I find time to do all the things I want to do. You know, I play plenty of music. I play plenty of tennis. I watch TV. I sleep in front of the TV quite a bit. But do I find time to do the things I need to do? To study, to pray, to worship. You know, that I don't have enough time is an excuse. I remember Curtis Pope saying an excuse is just a dressed up lie. It's just a dressed up lie. So it makes it look good, but we're lying to ourselves sometimes, aren't we? When we say, I don't have time to do that, because we always find time to do the things we want to do. But we see ourselves, one of the reasons we don't pray, as we talked about, we see ourselves as self-sufficient. And sometimes we're just not disciplined enough. It takes effort. It takes discipline. It takes practice. It's a habit that is developed. And there have been periods in my life as a Christian where I've done really good at it, and other times when I haven't done so good. I love the daily Bible reading because that it takes discipline as well. That's a practice of discipline. You know, are we combining that with prayer? I think we should. Linda. I think you're exactly right, and that's we're going to look at some of these things in a little bit more detail, and we need to move along here, but we're not going to, the second part of this, we're not going to spend nearly as much time as this first verse. But there are four alls in verse 18. This was pointed out by somebody else, and I said, you know, that's right. And let's look at these one at a time. So, with all prayer and petition, pray at all times. Be on the alert with all perseverance and petition. It almost sounds redundant, but we'll talk about that. And then for all the saints. So we have four alls in Ephesians 18. And let's take these one at a time and look at these and discuss them. With all prayer and petition. So what does this mean? And I would suggest that this means every kind of prayer. And we actually have two listed here. The word prayer here is just your standard word you see throughout the scriptures for prayer. What does the word petition or supplication mean? Making a request. So we can pray without making a request, and we'll talk about that. We've got some passages that we're very familiar with that say very similar things. Philippians 4 and verse 6. I mean, one you cannot quote. You have to quote this passage when studying this almost. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication. There's a distinction there as well. With thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. But there's almost three types of prayer listed in this passage, aren't there? You've got prayer, you've got supplication, you've got thanksgiving. And one thing we need to recognize here is that not all prayer is the same. But Paul's saying with all prayer and petition, with all kinds of prayer, every type, make your requests be made known. You know, I was listening to a lesson on this passage by somebody, and he said, you know, what we need to recognize is that prayer can move God's hand. I mean, that's what we're told in Scripture, that we can move God's hand with our prayers. Look what it says over in James chapter 5 and verses 16 through 17. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another so that you may be healed. The effective prayer of a righteous man can accomplish much. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it did not rain on the earth for 3 years and 6 months. And we look back at Elijah and go, he's a prophet of God. You know, he's special. You know, that. But what does it say here? He's just like us. He's no different than you and me. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man can accomplish much. Elijah prayed, and what did God do? He answered his prayer. It did not rain for 3 years as a result. Then he prayed again, and it rained. Exactly. Yeah, and what James is saying, he's just like you are. You can accomplish much by... That's a lack of faith when we don't recognize that, isn't it? And I think that's hard for us to realize that our prayers can have that much significance. You know, somebody said, be careful what you pray for because you might just get it. I've had that happen. Back when I was in college, I prayed for something I didn't need, and God gave it to me. I was diligent. I said, I'm gonna pray for this situation. And I realized, you know, looking back a couple years later, I thought, no wonder, you know. But I just was determined. I wanted this particular thing to happen in my life. And it's not what I needed. And God knew it. So be careful what we're praying for. And we'll talk about that a little bit as we get along here. But not all prayer is petition. That's one of the things we have to recognize. There's thanksgiving. There's praise. There's supplication. There's just, you know, prayer. Sometimes you just tell God how you feel without even knowing what to say. Have you ever? Gratitude. Thankfulness. You know, we'll talk about, I don't want to get ahead of myself, but I thought about this passage in Romans 8 that troubles us sometimes. But, I mean, I think it troubles us because we still don't understand it. But this is what it's saying. In the same way, the Spirit also helps our weakness. For we do not know how to pray as we should, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. Have you ever been so troubled or bothered by something you don't even know what to do? And you just tell God, Lord, I don't know what to do here. This is what's going on. You don't even know what an answer could be. But it says that the Spirit intercedes for us. And then Paul goes on and he says, pray at all times in the Spirit. What does it mean to pray at all times? I mean, that can be hazardous when you're driving, and if you're accustomed to bowing your head and closing your eyes. Is that what Paul is saying? Pray every second of every day, that you always have to be praying? A prayerful attitude. I think that's exactly right. Notice what we're told in 1 Thessalonians 5:17 here. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Doesn't mean we never stop praying. It means that we have an attitude. It's like walking the path, isn't it? That we have a discipline of prayer. And that in everything we are thankful. You know, Frank and I had this discussion the other day. I was talking to Frank about how many acorns there were on my property. And Frank said, be careful, Rick. You know, I know somebody who fell and hurt themselves seriously. Well, sure enough, Friday morning or Friday afternoon, I go up to my upper, what used to be my office. Now it's what you call my man cave without a TV, but it's got guitars and my study up there. But I went up to get some batteries, and I had my batteries in one hand and keys in the other, and I'm coming down the stairs to the deck, and I stepped on this big acorn, and my foot went out from under me, and I about fell all the way down the stairs, and I was just able to catch myself at the last minute. And the first thing I said, thank you, Lord, because I'm getting older. You know, used to I could bounce around down the stairs and probably be fine with a couple bruises. I'm not sure that's the case anymore. But is that, you know, and I'm not trying to brag on myself, but that's the first thing I said. Do we, when something, are we thankful? Do we, Les gave I think it may have been at the Lord's Supper one day, and he talked about, you know, I making a practice of just, you know, getting in your car and being thankful that you have a vehicle to drive and turning on the air conditioning, being thankful the air conditioning works, going to the gas pump, being thankful you have enough money to fill the tank. Do we think that way in our lives? That all these blessings we have that are so abundant, especially in this country and in our lives, do we recognize them like that? I think that's a great attitude to have. Thankful that the PowerPoint's working this morning, you know. I like to use that. But all these things. Here's what a quote from the pulpit commentary that I thought was useful and related to praying at all times. No period of life should be without it. Youth, middle life, old age, all demand it. No condition of life, adversity, prosperity, sunshine, desolation, under sore temptation, under important duty, under heavy trial, under all changing circumstances of life, personal, social, Christian, pray at all times. I thought that was well worth it. Something to think about. That has to be our attitude in everything we face. We're ready to go to God at any time, no matter what we're dealing with. And then he says, pray at all times in the Spirit. What does that mean? How do we pray in the Spirit? Does that mean we, you know, hold our hands up and you know, things are happening around us? Is that what it means? Is that what Paul is saying here? Les? I like the way Les is raising his hand these days. He just he knows I'm alert to him. I'm always on the alert. Go ahead. I think that's exactly right. And the first thing I thought about was Matthew 6:33. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Is that the umbrella of all our prayers? When we go to God in prayer, are we thinking in those terms? Is this going to help me seek God's kingdom more effectively? Is this job offer that I have? You know, some things can be neutral, and we've got to recognize that. But is this job offer that I have over here, is this going to help me do that? Is it going to hinder me from doing that? This person I want to date, are they going to help me seek God's kingdom more effectively? This promotion, this move, are we thinking in those terms? Because it seems to me, as Christians, recognizing what our purpose is in this life that Ephesians has talked about from chapter 1 and verse 1, that has to be our focus. What is going to help me seek God's kingdom more effectively? And if I'm making decisions that are not based on that, then I'm making the wrong decision. You know, it's earlier in this chapter, Jesus said, your heavenly Father knows what you need even before you ask him. I think it's in verse 8. But I think the key is he knows what we need. And that needs to be our prayer. What do I need, Lord? What do I need to serve you more effectively? Not what I want, but what do I need? And what we all need is to be seeking God's kingdom first. We must have that attitude that our spiritual needs always take priority over our physical wants. That's God's attitude, isn't it? And sometimes things don't go well because we maybe need to recognize that. You know, I don't want to whittle on God's end of the stick, as Joe Hickman used to say. But you know, the idea is we need to be putting God first. With what are we to be on the alert? And with this in view, be on the alert with all perseverance and petition. You know, again, we see that soldier, don't we? Being on the alert, ready for the enemy, prepared for his onslaught. With all perseverance and petition. I have that underlined right here. You know, our society has become a society so much of instant gratification. Do you remember when, if you wanted to get an album, you actually had to go to the record? Well, do you remember what an album is, first of all? But when you had to go to the record store and buy one, or a CD. I don't think I've bought an album or a CD in years. I just download it. I click on a button, and I've got it right there. You used to have to go to Blockbuster to rent a movie, or go to the movie theater. My. Now you just click a button on your television and you can watch it right there. You know, if it takes any longer for me to get my food in 3 minutes, you know, any longer than 3 minutes, that's too long in a fast food line. I mean, we want everything and we want it now. And as somebody said, we treat prayer like a microwave. We put it in and we push the button and we hope for 90 seconds we're going to get a ding and get our answer. Prayer is not a microwave. That's not how it works. It's not, God, we need to pray with all perseverance and petition. Notice what Jesus said in Luke 18 and verse 1. Now he was telling them a parable to show that at times they ought to pray and not, at all times they ought to pray and not to lose heart. It requires persistence and patience. How long did Isaac and Rebekah have to wait for a child? I think it was 20 years, if I recall. Maybe 40. I can't remember. I didn't go back and look. That they were praying for a child and they didn't receive one. If our prayers were answered immediately, it wouldn't require perseverance and patience and petition, would it? God wants us to trust in Him. He's always listening, and He knows what's best for us. And maybe He's not answering because He knows that's not what we need. I think there's Jesus talks about, which one of you, if he asked his father for a loaf of bread, will he give him a stone? If he asked for an egg, will he give him a scorpion? And I think the point Jesus made, God's not going to give you something. You may be asking for the wrong thing. And God's not going to give it to you. You may think you want that, but that's not really a loaf of bread. That's a stone. That's going to weigh you down. That's going to bite you. It's not an egg. And that goes back to praying in the Spirit. But you know, we have to persevere in those things, but we have to trust in God that when we don't get the answer to our prayers, that He knows what's best for us. Earl.
Yeah, I mean, persevering, you should go back to thinking about the soldier again. Most armies, when they're up against a formidable adversary, it doesn't just come real quick and easy. It requires long perseverance, sometimes years. War goes on for years before they get the victory that they're seeking. So it's back to the soldier idea. Perseverance.
Who doesn't have the big picture?
Every day in and day out, he just keeps persevering. He keeps putting on his armor.
And he may not even see any evidence that the battle is being won, just what's going on in front of him. And I think that's crucial, that's key. And then pray for all the, I'm trying to move ahead a little bit here because we've got about 10 minutes to finish up the next section, but we don't need long for that. Pray for all the saints. Back to James 5:16. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another so that you may be healed. The effective prayer of a righteous man can accomplish much. You know, when you're praying for somebody, what does that make you do? It makes you think about them. It makes you think that they are, first of all, your brother and sister if you're praying for the fellow saints. And if you're thinking about them, you're going to be paying attention, aren't you? Well, I didn't see them this morning. I didn't, you know, what do they need? Is there something I can do to help them? And I think that's one of the reasons we're told. We need one another's prayers. And we'll talk about that in just a minute. But if we have faith that God is in control and that he hears our prayers, why wouldn't we be praying for one another, for our faith? We're all in this battle together. We're all struggling against this enemy. And if we're not struggling, we're losing. And that's what we have to recognize. And I've said before, you know, we pray for those who are spiritually struggling. We need to be praying for those who aren't spiritually struggling. Because it's a struggle for all of us. Jesus said, pick up your cross daily and follow me. Every morning we have to remind ourselves that we're in this battle and that we've got to keep moving on in this battle and going forward. Trusting that God knows what he's doing and he's in complete control, and being on the alert, watching out for our fellow soldiers, making sure they're not getting tripped up by the enemy. I think that's one of the points here. And prayer helps us be persevering in prayer for them as well. All right, let's go ahead and move on. But you know, one thing we can do about it for our brothers and sisters, call for reinforcements. Lord, help them. Help us help them. You know, it's one thing to say, help them, Lord, but it's another thing to step up and say, let me see, how can I help them as well? Let's look at this next section. And Paul says here, and pray on my behalf that utterance may be given to me in the opening of my mouth to make known with boldness the mystery of the gospel for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in proclaiming it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. And we've got Paul saying here, and pray on my behalf. What? I mean, here's the Apostle Paul, you know, sent by Jesus Christ according to the will of God, and he's asking these Ephesian Christians to pray for him. He's got a direct line of communication with God. What does he need us praying for him for or them? Because he knew the power of prayer. He recognized it. How did the Ephesian Christians know they needed to pray for Paul? He asked them. And that's a lesson for us as well, isn't it? How does somebody know we need their prayers unless we sometimes ask them? I mean, we need to be praying for one another. And I know there are some ladies here who are prayer warriors. Because they've told me, I'm praying for you, Rick. I'm praying for the situation that you mentioned. That's encouraging. And it makes me think, I need to be doing that as well. Gina. It's an extremely good habit. And it's a recognition that God is the one in control. All of this is. Look at Mark 11, 23 through 24 here. This is a beautiful passage. Truly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be taken up and cast into the sea, and it does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says is going to happen, it shall be granted him. Therefore, I say to you, all things for which you pray and ask, believe that you have received them, and they shall be granted you. Now, we look at this and we go, wait a second. Is Jesus telling us that we need to be moving mountains around? Not physical mountains, but what are the mountains in our lives? Spiritual, they're obstacles. If we pray that this obstacle can be moved, he says, he'll hear us. And the thing is, he says, it shall be granted him. Maybe not as he wants it, but as God knows it needs to be. And that's the thing we have to recognize. If we're praying about something and we're putting God first in our lives. I mean, if we're living in sin, God doesn't hear the prayers of sinners. But if we're putting God first in our life, if we're walking the path and we're praying, it says that God hears us and he's going to grant it to us. It may not be according to what we think it should be, but we need to trust that He's going to answer us and take care of us.
Our prayer is always, of course, tempered, not my will.
And again, and that's exactly what we talked about, seeking God's kingdom first. And that, you know, if I'm sitting there praying for a Ferrari and I'm not getting it, then I'm praying with the wrong motive, James says, that I can use it on myself. Wouldn't want a Ferrari anyway. But what are we praying for? Are we seeking God's will? Are we seeking His kingdom first? Jesus, you know, in the sample prayer, he prayed for the disciples how to pray. He said, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done." That's central to our prayer, isn't it? That God's kingdom come. Our battle is not against flesh and blood. We talked about that when we covered that section. Our enemy is spiritual, and they're being used by our enemy. They're being taken captive by our enemy. We need to be praying for them. Elaine? Yeah. And let's look at the last two sections. I think they'll even talk about that. Paul's, and this is one of the things that surprised, Paul is praying that, pray that I have boldness in preaching. You know, you go, what? Paul? He's the boldest person we've ever heard of. But apparently that's something he struggled with and asked for prayer. That encourages me. Maybe, you know, I may not always feel bold, but, you know, courage is not the absence of fear. It's moving forward in the face of fear. And that's what we need to remember. So I thought that was interesting. And let's go ahead and look at this. "For which I am an ambassador in chains, that in proclaiming it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak." And I wanted to just, we've touched on this earlier when this was mentioned about Paul being in prison and in chains. And you think, you know, Paul was selected by God to spread the gospel, to preach the gospel, and he's in prison. Do you think Paul wanted to be in prison? Notice what he said to I think this is Agrippa here. When he said, "You almost persuaded me to be a Christian, Paul." And he said, "I would to God that whether in a short or a long time, not only you, but all who hear me this day might become such as I am, except for these chains." Paul said, "I wish you were just like me, except for these chains." I don't think Paul liked being in prison. Do you think Paul might have prayed, "God, let me out of prison"? But what did Paul being in prison result in? The book of Ephesians, for one. Colossians, 1st and 2nd Timothy. I mean, we could, I think, Philippians. I mean, I don't know. I should have looked all those up. But yeah, we wouldn't have this book if Paul hadn't been in prison, I don't think. The Lord used Paul's circumstances, even as bad as they might have looked from Paul, to do such good. And that's, I think, what we need to remember, that God has the big picture always. So what's going on in our life might look like, you know, this isn't good. But God can use it to His glory if we trust in Him and continue to trust in Him. And we demonstrate that trust by our prayer, by our faith, by all of these things we talked about in this armor. All right, Wednesday evening we'll look at the last four verses, 21 through 23, 24, maybe five verses. And we'll be done with class. But thank you, as always, for your kind attention and your good comments.